I hope that you all have had a wonderful Christmas time with family, with friends, gathering together. I really hope that you have. I had a really good time yesterday. Yesterday, I came here for a few hours and cleaned out my office, which I think I haven't really put away piles in about a year. So I was feeling really good yesterday. And then I went out and, I didn't actually play golf, but I tried. It may have looked like golf to some, but I don't know. I went out with my daughter and her boyfriend and my husband, and we played a round of 9 holes, and I took a couple big chunks out of the ground that was still soft, but had a great day. And I came home, and I was getting ready to walk the dogs, and I saw on my phone that I was getting a call from Bill. And I'm like, I'm just going to walk my dogs. I'll call him later. And so I came back in, and I called Bill back, and his wife Jill picked up the phone, and I thought, that cannot be good. And I said, everything okay? And she said, no, it's not. Bill's got the stomach bug. And so I thought, oh, how about that? I thought I was going to have this relaxing evening, maybe watching a movie with my family, but I don't think so anymore. And so Bill called me back, and he talked to me a little bit about, I said, can you at least share with me what's the scripture we're doing today? And so he shared that with me, and he shared a couple of his thoughts on the way that he was going to go with that. And I had some people clean up the dinner dishes, and I began praying immediately and seeking guidance from God, because I didn't want it to be about anything but what God wanted it to be about. And I have to say, I read the scripture and I thought to myself, I feel a little bit like Mary and Joseph as they were escaping to Egypt, not wanting to be where they were. But I know that's stretching it a bit, because I'm nothing like that. Here I am in a familiar place. But I was really looking for an escape route last night. I really was, and I didn't find it. But I want to bring you up to speed with the scripture that we're working from today. And the scripture we're going to read from is in Matthew, and I put my Bible right here, is from Matthew. And we're going to pick up in Matthew in chapter 2. If you want to look at it on your phone or the Bible at your table, it's right after the wise men had been warned that they should go in a different route and should not go back to Herod. And so here's where we have in chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 13. When they, and the they refers to the Magi, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, and he took the child and his mother, and during the night left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. It seems like since the beginning of time, God's faithful have been fleeing and fleeing and returning, but returning at God's perfect timing, not their own. Let's think about it. Adam and Eve, they were forced from the garden. Noah built an ark where he took refuge from the flood. The call of Abram to go from his country, his kindred, his father's house, to a land that he would be shown. Lot took his family and left Sodom. Jacob moved his family to Egypt to escape famine. The Israelites are driven out of Egypt and wander in the desert for 40 years. Clearly, a faithful life can mean that our lives take a different direction than we originally planned. We cannot follow Jesus and remain unchanged. We must be in close relationship with our Creator so that we know what changes must be made in our lives. That divine guidance comes from a prepared heart. Joseph must have had a prepared heart because he was receptive to God's guidance many times. The first, when he learned of Mary's pregnancy. The second, when he was told to escape to Egypt. And then a third time when he was told to go ahead and go back. And then in the midst of that travel, was told, no, I need you to go to seek refuge in the district of Galilee, in a town called Nazareth. Joseph and Mary's lives certainly took on a lot of twists and turns from what they had originally planned. And they found themselves on more than one occasion to be a stranger in a strange land. Can you imagine being told to pick up your child in the dead of night and sneak to a different place? A place where you're not comfortable? A place where maybe you look different? Maybe you dress differently? A place where maybe your skin color is different. A place where maybe you worship differently than they worship. Can you imagine how scary it must have been for Mary and Joseph to be a stranger in a strange land? I'm wondering, as we look back over our lives, has there ever been a point in time when you felt that way? Felt a little out of place? Maybe you had to relocate. Anybody here have to relocate? Maybe you had to go with your spouse or your partner to an office party where you didn't know anybody. Maybe you had to sit in a place like this. Maybe you went to a church on a vacation and you just were feeling a little uncomfortable in that place. What made you feel uncomfortable? Didn't know anybody. What else might made you have felt like you were the stranger? You weren't welcomed. How did you know you weren't welcomed? Nobody said hello. Maybe you weren't dressed right. Somebody forgot to tell you what the dress was. Maybe you showed up for a costume party and you were the only one that had a costume on. You name it. There's probably been times in our lives when we, in fact, were a stranger in a strange land. I remember when my youngest was studying abroad in Scotland. She was at the University of Glasgow, and so one of my other daughters and I decided that we would go visit her over in Scotland. And when you're in Scotland, the airfare to Ireland is cheap. And the plane ride was what? Half hour, 45 minutes? Very short. And so off we went. And let me tell you that my experience with travel is driving up and down the East Coast to different beaches. I don't really do a whole lot more than that by plane. And so there we were. And we had booked a bus tour through Ireland. So we also, I was trying to save money, and so we stayed in an Airbnb in some town that was close to where we were picking up the bus tour. But what I didn't realize when I had booked the bus tour was that just because it said 2 miles to the city, 2 miles seemed like nothing. But when you're riding a bus, that's a lot of stops in between the town and the city. And so it actually took quite a while, and we had booked a very early tour. And so we got to Ireland. It was kind of late in the afternoon, so we tried to find where the bus stop was, and we thought we should probably try this. We should take the bus down to the city so we see how long it takes. And so we tried to get on the bus, but you needed exact change. So there we were in Ireland without the exact change in a neighborhood, not this big area where there were all kinds of stores. And so there was this one little store across the street. And so we tried not to panic. We tried to pretend like we weren't strangers in a strange land. And we walked into the store and we picked up a candy bar. Now, mind you, it was getting close to dinner time, but we thought we'd figure dinner out later. We'd order up a pizza or something. So we walked in, picked up something, went to the counter, and gave him whatever, and we said we would like all the change in this denomination so that we could get on the bus. And he said, "Do you need that for the bus?" And we said, "Yes." And he said, "I can't give that to you. If I gave change for everybody on the bus, I wouldn't have any change. I can't give that to you." "Oh, okay." So we went back outside, and I was the mom, so I was trying to keep it all together, and we had somebody in tears because, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We had somebody else getting mad because I can't be responsible for this whole thing. And so we made our way back to the Airbnb, and we said, "No problem. We'll get an Uber." Only to find out that that little chip or whatever we put in Abby's phone for Scotland doesn't work in Ireland, so we weren't calling any Ubers to get to the city. So then we planned, what are we going to do? And so we decided that we would go back to this little convenience store and we would purchase exactly what we needed. Each one of us would purchase exactly what we needed so that we would get the exact change back. You should have seen the three of us walking around the store with little pencil, like we didn't look like strangers, walking around this little convenience store, making them, you know, adding everything up on our phone so we could figure out the right amount of change because we had already paid for the tour. It was paid for. We needed to be there. So then we went up to the cash register and we said, you know, "Here's all of our stuff." And he obviously knew. This was a different cashier. He obviously knew that we weren't from those parts. And he said, "Do y'all need change for the bus?" And we said, "Yes." And he's like, "No problem. No problem." We didn't have to spend that half hour in the store trying to figure out exactly what we could eat for dinner. And so it was really interesting, the difference between the two cashiers. One clearly made us feel unwelcome, like a stranger in a strange land. And the other was very kind and compassionate and did whatever it took. He actually figured it all out for us, how much he would need and what it would look like, because obviously the currency was not American currency. And so what struck me about today's scripture was, yes, we have to have a prepared heart so that we can go where God leads us. And God's faithful people are often led to a strange place, places where we don't want to go. Like I said, I didn't really plan on being up here this morning. But I think what struck me when I read the scripture last night was a little bit convicting. What struck me last night is, how often am I the one making somebody feel uncomfortable? How often am I the one with the judging stare that makes somebody feel unwelcome? How often are my thoughts, my actions, judging and unkind and unwelcome? Which cashier am I? The one that makes it impossible for somebody to navigate in my world, or the one who goes out of their way to show kindness and compassion. When we read this scripture to see what it has to say for us today, we have to ask, do our behaviors and our actions and even our thoughts make others feel invited and welcome, or judged and unwanted? You know, the Holy Family was received in Egypt as strangers, outsiders really, and yet they received safe sanctuary until Herod was gone and died, and until they could return. As Christians, we might reflect, how can we form that same safe sanctuary and offer refuge without judging, both inside and outside of these walls? Like Joseph, we need to have a prepared heart in order to receive divine guidance. Pray with me. Holy One, are our hearts prepared? Do we hear your divine guidance that says go and stay? Holy One, do we hear you when you convict us of our judging ways and our unwelcoming stares? Forgive us. Forgive us. Your people are asked to go into strange lands. Sometimes you ask us to go into strange lands. But always, Lord, you have convicted us to love our neighbors. And so, who are our neighbors? Do we offer our seats to them when they come in this building, in this place? Do we smile and say hello? Do we talk to them? But Lord, we know that this scripture today tells us that just like Mary and Joseph sought refuge in Egypt and were welcome to stay there, we must welcome new people into our classrooms, into our office, into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our churches. Lord, we thank you that scripture that was written from so long ago has messages for us today. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for that. And we ask you to soften our hearts as we leave this place today, so that we might have gentle smiles and warm welcomes to those that need refuge, for those that need to feel loved and welcomed. Amen.